If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 33. That's in the Old Testament. Just so we're clear. Chapter 33 and verse 13. We read it last week, and I want to pick up where we left off last week. Because I believe that what God wants to do in our lives is when we hear what he's doing, we get overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed. Right? We have people come from around the world and preach here. We hear what God's doing around the world. We know that there's a new king of England now. They set him in yesterday, right? And Pastor Andy sent me a text and it said that he was to bow to the King of Kings. He said, we're setting a new king in, but he's going to bow to the King of Kings. Now let's pray that that's his thoughts as he takes over in England, right? And then he laid his hand on the Bible in order to be inaugurated. And now we'll watch and see what happens and what transpires over in jolly old England and where they stand. But I believe that, you know, it's a whole nother season over there in the UK, and it's a new season here in America. But I believe that you're ready for the new season that's coming. I believe the rest of you will be ready for what's coming. I believe some of you will be ready for what's coming, all right? You see, until the body of Christ, unless we walk together, because the Bible says, how can any two walk together in least what? They agree. Tell your neighbor, say, I agree with God. Right. Okay. And what we want to do is Russ and Deirdre stand up. So for those of you who don't know, this is Mr. Russ and Miss Deirdre got married yesterday, Dubai. Amen. If you don't know them, you should get to know them. They're wonderful people. They really are. They're just amazing. You know, getting to know them through just going through the counseling and stuff and then spending time with them yesterday up in Haynes Falls, up in Palinville area. Just beautiful. Hearts are beautiful. And so Russ is the one that, if you ever saw the Pillsbury Doughboy commercial, where he poked him in the belly when we were younger, and he went, "Hew!" That's Russ's finger. He created that commercial. So that's what he does, is he creates commercials. Now he's working on what, Friskies? Commercials, and he's done some of the CG, you know, what is that? The computer graphics for, we'll just say for, what's the one with Captain Jack Sparrow there? Pirates of the Caribbean, and some other stuff like that. So he's been making commercials and working in the film industry and stuff. And even though he works in that, he's still nice. All right? And he married a beautiful lady in Miss Deirdre, who's just amazing. So get to know these guys and welcome them into the body of Christ. Amen? Exodus 33:13. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. Tell your neighbor, say, I want to get to know him better. And it says, and continue to find favor with you. Somebody preach, right? Favor ain't fair. Yeah. That's right. And God's favor is upon us as we get to know him more. The more I get to know him, the more favor I have. How many people try to get to know somebody, right? People, how often do people run up and somebody that's in the movies or whatever, and I met so-and-so. Right? They don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, they're starstruck. Can I get your autograph? I don't care. Write it on a napkin I already used. I'll keep it forever. Many people want to meet people, and we give people such high esteem, and they chase after mere mortal men. And yet when it comes to God, they don't read the Word of God. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't get to know him. But when it comes to somebody that's tangible, they can see in front of, and they get awestruck, and they think, well, maybe this will benefit me if I get to know them. Isn't that what we do? Sure we do. Hey, I want you to meet my friend. He's whatever he does. Whatever she does. Oh, yeah, you got to get to know this guy. Russ isn't going to put you in movies, okay? So get that thought out of your head. You're not going to be in a new Friskies commercial, okay? Your whiskers aren't long. Well, a few of you, your whiskers are long enough, but mine never will be. I can't grow them. But it's not about Russ. It's about who Jesus Christ is, amen? Because the more we get to know him, the more favor we have in our lives. The more favor you have in your lives, the more people's lives are changed. And I want to say that I don't know what God's called you to. I don't know what he's called you to do. Everybody in here has got this part of a calling, right?
We've all got a different part in what God's called us to do. We're all playing a different part. But I know one thing, that everything God's called you to do has to do with the salvation of his sons and daughters. In some way, shape, or form. Thank you, Miss Ann and Miss Susanna. The rest of you is, okay, let's grab a hold of this. Everything has to do with his sons and daughters. Thank you. See, so whatever you're doing, whatever your plans and your dreams and all of your purposes are and what you're giving your time and your efforts and your energy to, if it isn't the culmination of bringing people into the kingdom of God, then we're not listening to him. I'm sorry. I know that was hard. I don't care that it was hard. So that means I'm not sorry. That was a lie. Father, forgive me for lying. But you know, we've got to get back to what God's called us to do. And we got to stay focused on what our lives are supposed to be spent on. Amen? Because whatever it is, whether it's running an orphanage or serving, you know, whatever it is, it's got to be about other people's lives, not ours. Amen. It can't be about me my whole life. We did that already before Jesus Christ. And now that we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything starts to change. My purposes, my plans, my desires, where I give, right? We don't take up offerings on Sunday. What do? We put two boxes on the wall, right? Because, and if you're new here, we don't say this usually on Sundays, but if you're new here, the scripture says that we're to give to the kingdom of God. Amen? And you give to your storehouse, and you give the 10%, and that goes in the boxes there. You just fill out an envelope, throw them in the box. That's all you got to do. And we don't make a big deal about it all the time because we know that when people's hearts are changed, we know that it's our desire to give. Amen? And if the law, under the law, said 10%, then we're not under the law, we're under grace. So what should it be? Right? For those that God said, I gave you the ability to get wealth. Well, if you're going to get wealth, it's to build the kingdom of God. That's what extra wealth is for. It's not to hoard and to hang on to like the world is saying. Why? Because God can only multiply what you give. Do we agree, Art?
Yeah.
Okay, Arthur agrees. So I know I'm not off base.
Amen.
But he can only multiply what you give. When you give your life to him, he multiplies and brings other lives into the kingdom of God. Can we agree on that? Right. It works in every area. See, when I die, right, the seed has to go into the ground and die, and then there's much more fruit that comes from it, right? One apple seed produces one tree, which produces millions of seeds over its lifetime. And that's the same way with us. So when we get to know God more, then all of a sudden our eyes are off of ourselves. I'm not trying to build my kingdom within his kingdom. I'm not trying to do it my way in this life that he has given me. I'm trying to do what he's called me to do so that somebody else's life is changed because of the love of God in my heart that I died to myself and now I live for him. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Right. Because there's a whole bunch more preachers in here that preach better than I do. Come on, Bradley. Anybody else have the courage to say, I'm in?
Worship leaders.
Yes. Children's church leaders.
Yes.
Youth leaders.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of leaders in this house. If you didn't come in here as a leader, the only thing we're equipping you for is to lead.
Yep.
We're not equipping you to sit. You learn that all on your own. You do a great job. You're amazing at it. But now it's time to stand and to do what he's called us to do. Because the more I get to know him, the more favor is on my life. And the more favor that's on my life, the more people's lives are changed. That's the way it works. The favor isn't for me to hoard it, to hang on to it, to call it my own. It's not to walk around. Moses didn't walk around and say, look at my shining face. He put a veil over it. He wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for the Father. He didn't want to lead the people of Israel. Can I tell you, people are messy. Look at your neighbor, say he's talking about you. Look at your other neighbor and just give him a look and nod. Our lives are messy. Every one of us. We whine, we cry, we snivel, we complain. And you know when we do it the most? when we hoard our lives, when it's all about me. Because when I'm so busy serving in the king's courts, I don't have time to think about all that I am and what I want to do. But then more favor and more favor and more favor gets poured upon my life. I want to encourage you, if we're going to get to know him, he's only got one desire. None should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? And in that saving knowledge, then there's freedom in breaking every curse. And then the generation after generation after generation being filled with the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. That's God's plan and his purpose. When we get to know him, favor comes, change comes in every area of our lives. And if we're not attentive to the heart of God, then we're not going to be attentive to those that are around us. We're not going to care. We're going to walk past people on the street. Whatever. Oh, look at the way he looked at me. Did you see that? Not only are we wrong, then we try to get people to agree with us. Isn't that true? Oh, did you hear what they said? What? I didn't hear it through your filter. Your filter's got some issues. We got to change that filter. We got to take the shop vac or the air hose and blow the fuzz out of your filter because you're looking at it wrong. You're sucking things in and you're taking things in and it's all convoluted. And so many times we're in a conversation. Bren, did you hear that? She said, no, I heard this. I'm like, what? What are you, from Venus? She said, yeah, you're from Mars. It's the way that we receive things. And you know what? Once we came to that understanding that we see and hear things differently, we got along a lot better. We tried to convince each other that we're right. She was tough to live with. You all know it was me. All right, all right. Moses knew the favor wasn't for him, and he wanted to know him greater and deep in a deeper way. And to know him, it means to clearly understand. To clearly understand God. To know him, one of the definitions is to clearly understand him. And you know, you can tell the people around you that clearly understand God by the answers that they give when questions come. Right? The response, how they respond to pressure. How they respond to trouble. How they respond to you when you're not having a good day. Does everybody just say, don't go near them. It ain't going to go well. Listening to the front door, hearing the screaming, we might as well go play ball for a little while longer. Because it ain't going to go well. We walk in that door. How do we handle it? Because when we know and we understand God, we know that we just sang it. Shalom, shalom, shalom. So when you walk in, peace walks in. Amen? Does it matter how big or bad the situation is? Does it matter how out of control it is? Does it matter how long you've been surrendering to the fear or to the abuse? When shalom comes, when the peace of God comes, we get to know him. We make him the focus, and therefore we get stronger in the midst of it, and we can respond properly in any situation. Oh, if the church would just respond properly in every situation. I need to get there. I need a lot of help responding properly in every situation. Some are easy, aren't they? When my grandkids come up and they say, Pa, what, baby? Can I have a candy? Yeah, it's 8:30 in the morning. You're doggone right. You can have a candy. I know how to respond properly to my grandchildren. That's easy. I don't know how to respond to their mother when she says, hey, Pa, not at 8:30 in the morning. Sorry? But I'm going to do it anyway. No, I that's not true. So, you see, because when we, no, Chels. But when we clearly understand God, every situation we get into, we can respond properly. Isn't that the whole thing about growing up? Why do we send our children out of our house? If you didn't send your child out of your house and they're 30 in your basement, send them out of your house. Okay? I'm just saying. Get them out. Oh, but I don't know if they're going to make it. Well, it's too late. The training's done. If they ain't going to make it at 30, they ain't going to make it. And then somebody else is going to have to train them how to make it. Isn't it amazing how fear comes in?
and then we want to protect. Stop protecting these men. They're men. They're supposed to go conquer mountains and transform lives and disciple people in all different countries. That's what the Word of God called them to go and do. Don't hide them in your basement and do their stinking laundry and cook for them and make their bed for them. Good golly, it's not even Mother's Day, baby, and I'm already helping you out. Because you see, they have to get to know God. And sometimes they got to fall on their face. How many times you fall on your face? Yeah, I probably will this week and cry out to God again. Lord, I blew it again. You got to help me. Help me get through this, Lord. Help me get over this. Help me do it right this time. I'm going to fall on my face all week long to get closer to Him. Every time I make a mistake, release them and let them go make their mistakes. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to come back and say, hey, Mom, Dad, what? You was right. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that when they get older? If you leave them in the basement, you'll never hear that. Just saying, you're robbing yourself of a blessing. For us to get to know God, we start to cohabitate with God. We spend time with Him. If you want to get to know Him, you start to comprehend God. You start to experience a familiar friend, is one of the different definitions. Isn't that beautiful? How many want to be a friend of God? How many want to experience that time with God where you're not coming in saying, I want, or I'm sorry. It seems like one of the two we come with, isn't it? Oh, Lord, forgive me again. Yep, I'm a broken vessel, Lord. I leak. Lord, I'm sorry. Can you give me this? Can you take care of this? Lord, do this. How about with a friend? My wife has become my friend. And so when we walk, we talk about silly things. We were talking about lilacs this morning and how in some places the lilacs are, here it is, the beginning of spring, we finally get some really nice days and the lilacs are already starting to die off, right? The smell is there, but I walked by the bush down here on my way to the river this morning and some of the lilacs are already drying up. They've done their job. Their season is already begun to decline. Some of you in here, you're older. Your season has already started to decline, all right? It's not on the upswing, and I'm one of them. We're on this side over here. Still got a lot to do and a lot of years to work, but I'm still on that other side, and I want to make sure that every single day of my life is given, and I'm expecting to know God more and to experience Him as my friend. I want to experience Him as my friend, and I want to walk with Him in the cool of the day. We talked about last week how the way we get to know one another is to spend time with one another. See, when we get into His Word, in order to become a friend of God, in order to understand Him, in order to walk in His ways, in order to comprehend what He wants to do right now in our lives, we're going to have to get into His Word, because when we get into His Word, we find out what He values. If you took everything that you've been working so hard for and put it on the table before the Lord, how much of it would He value? All the things we've been striving for, I want you to know, a miracle happened this week. It is a miracle of miracles. I've never seen this happen before. My wife is becoming a minimalist, right? Getting rid of everything. A lot of my stuff too. Sorry. All right, yeah, she lets me go through it. But and we're driving in a car this yesterday, and she said, honey, I saw at least 4 estate sales, and I wasn't interested in any of them. Miracles! What a good God! I'm not bringing their junk into my house to get rid of it. Yay! Jesus is coming back, baby! He's a miracle worker. And you know, speaking of miracles, I just reminded of this. I meant to say it earlier, and so thankful for all of you dads and the miracles that you are that took your little girls to the daddy-daughter dance. You know, Garrett and Deirdre did an amazing job decorating. It was spectacular, you know, and her heart to make it beautiful for all these little baby girls was just incredible. And can I tell you, everyone that walked in there said, wow, and that's what happens when you express your gift.
when the gift that God gave you is expressed for his glory so that others see it, they say, wow, that's incredible. And so thanks, dads, for taking yours. I was so blessed. Our daughter-in-law said, thanks for training your son properly. And he took his daughter, he gave her some roses, and he asked her to go to the dance. And Ethan took all three of his. Wow, three of them at once. That's incredible, E. But can I tell you, because his dad did a good job training him. He did a great job training him. And if he wouldn't have taken him, his father did an amazing job. Want to take it. And all them little girls just looking in their little dresses and their little flowers. And daddy took them dancing. How beautiful is that? Can I tell you? That's getting to know the Father. That's teaching our little girls to get to know the Father. Because the Father wants to walk you by the hand. Maybe your dad didn't. I don't know. But I want you to know, the men in this house, we take care of our little girls and we take them by the hand and we walk them out there. And my son said the only problem was my daughter wouldn't let me off the dance floor all night. We couldn't even eat. And so they just kept, all she wanted to do was dance with her daddy. But can I tell you, that's the expression that we're showing. Amen. Right? Show of hands, but how many young ladies wish your daddy would have danced with you, but it was a whole wrong experience that you expressed? We want to change that in the body of Christ for the next generation. Amen? That's why we do these things. We don't do them just to add something else to Pastor Tom's plate. He's got enough on his plate. But he said, I'll take it. I'll organize it. We'll find people to do things. And everybody's gift was surrendered that night. And them little girls understood the love of a father's hand. They understood how to dance with their daddy. They come up here on Sundays and they dance with their daddy before you guys, right? They practice every Saturday. That's the freedom we want them to have all the way through their lives. Gentlemen, we'll have a boys' time and we're going to train our men how to treat those girls so that they dance with them also and take their daughters. Amen? It doesn't matter where you started from. It's not the beginning of a thing, but it's the end of the thing God's looking at. Because just because you weren't treated right, does that mean you get the right to treat everybody else wrong? Absolutely not. We want to rip that out of us. How hard is it sometimes to rip that out? How hard sometimes is the jealousy because somebody else had it so much better than I did that I'm angry with them or I'm jealous of them, and then therefore I condemn it because it hurts too much to see it and agree with it, and I stay away? How many people have stayed away in the body of Christ because of what they've experienced? I believe what God's doing is he's bringing us into a new season. And we want to know him for certain. Amen? Do we know what God is doing? If you could sit down in the season that we're in right now, in the season America is in and around the world, it's crazy. It's crazy what these governments are all doing, preparing, coming for the one world order, which we know that's what the goal is and the focus is. It was written in the book of Revelations. We knew it was coming for a long time. Ta-da! You're living it. You're going to see it in your lifetime, most of you. Most are going to see it in your lifetime where everything changes. And you get to walk it out. In a time and a season that's different than what you're used to. And if you fight for yesterday, you're going to be complaining about tomorrow. If you're fighting for yesterday, I want this. This is what I experience. This is what I like. And that's what I want. I don't care what God is doing and what season we're in. I want what I want. And some people are walking like that, right? They have that old song, Lost in the 50s Tonight. Okay, you younger guys never heard that. But for the older ones, we heard that a lot. And some people want to stay in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s even. Can I tell you, we're to be the ones on the cutting edge, seeing what's coming. Do you see what God is doing? Because if not, we're not spending time with him. Can you write down what God's called you to do? And if not, you're not spending time with him. Can we agree with that? See, it's not somebody else's job. He's your father. Tell your neighbor, say, he's my father. No, tell like you mean it. Say, he's my father. You see, some never had a father. I want you to know you've got one now. And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
And he'll always make a way. And anytime you get close to him, you're going to find more favor in everything you do. So much of the fatherlessness that's going on in America right now, kids running amok and running crazy because daddy ain't there to say, follow me, boy, as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a short service, but a long teaching. John 5:17, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. How long does it take to build a friendship? How long does it take to build trust where you feel safe to share your heart? God's a very patient God. Now we need to start to step out and watch him do what he promised he would. In Psalm 116, 1 through 9, it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. He's inclined his ear to me. That's very personal. That's as personal as it's going to get. That's God coming off of his throne, sitting down here on the step, and saying, I'm here to hear what you have to say. And can I tell you, when you have the ear of God, you've got all of his attention. He's not texting while you're talking. How rude has a generation become that think, what's your problem? You don't like it? Don't look at my text. See, people sitting there texting, talking, having conversations, and say, oh yeah, Can I tell you, that's not the way your father treats you. He's not watching the television out of one eye. That's a different generation. He's not outside working, saying, I got to accomplish something with my hands today, otherwise I don't feel successful. That's a problem with men. I know it has been with me. I'd get done reading and praying, and I would say, okay, now I got to go get something done. Okay, I'm the only one. Can't somebody be on my side for once? Oh, okay. Thanks, Bradley. Thanks, honey. We think that when we do something with our hands, we're accomplishing something. We accomplish a whole lot more when we sit and listen to the Father. A whole lot more is done in other people's lives when we agree with what he had to say. Pastor Jeff, come on up. I know you were coming anyway. Because Malaysia told you, get up there, he'll never stop. Verse 2 in Psalms 116, it says, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. Ah, let that be our cry. As long as you live, call upon him. Don't stop. Don't stop calling upon him. I know things went sideways. I know everything didn't work out the way that you expected it to. I know some marriages went sideways. I know some children are going sideways. I know some things happened in your life. Other people impressing things upon you. It didn't go right. And some people stopped crying out to God because they said, even he can't fix this. Even he can't heal this. And the next generation is living under a roof of people that said it's too big for God. We want the next generation to be free from the things that you walk through. Amen? And in order to do that, he inclined his ear for you. Therefore, you shall call on him as long as you live. He said, the cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. No, I don't know about you, but I'm not going looking for distress and sorrow. He said he found it. I'm not going looking for it. But we've all experienced it. We've all experienced some distress and sorrow. No man's voice is going to bring the healing that you're looking for. All the counseling in the world isn't going to set you free until you hear the voice of the Master that says, I love you. I made a way for you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to carry you when you can't even walk. I'm going to bring people in your life. I'm going to surround you with people. Even when you say, I'm sick of this. God is so good, isn't he? Even when you got frustrated with God and you said, I can't anymore. God said, oh, I'm just going to keep sending people after you. I'm just going to keep sending them.
And every time you turn, oh, God is so good. And then you're walking and somebody else came, oh, praise God. And God just keeps sending them eventually. You're right, he's so good. And we come back into the sheepfold. That's what God does. He is so in love with you. He doesn't stop sending faithful men and women of God to people who haven't heard, who have heard and been hurt. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. I'm the one he's sending. That's who he's sending. He's sending you this week to those that are hurting. Why? Because we're going to spend time with him. We're going to get to know him. We're going to know his ways as we read his word. And then we're going to share what his word says. And when we share his word, everyone around us is going to start to get changed because the power is in his word. We need you praying this week. And I agree that the power is in his word. Because I went to a meeting on Thursday. And with the Episcopal. The Episcopal Church in Philmont. And there's six people at the meeting. And you know, it's like us sometimes. How many know we all have some religion in us? Right? We all know we all got a little religion that we got to crucify. Them sacred cows that got to go. We got to put them out the pasture. Slaughter them. They're not even good eating. We just leave them out there. But we said this is what we'd like to come and do because they're either going to sell it to the world or they're going to sell it to us. That's their two options. And they said, yeah, but if you guys buy it, their biggest fear, he said, well, if you guys buy it, are you going to change the altar at all? That's all they cared about. There's nobody in the building but four people on a Sunday. Six people. Are you going to change the altar the way that it looks? Are you going to bring in and put TVs and lights? I said, we don't put up lights. Okay, well, whatever. You know, we don't want to come in here sometime and see a motorcycle up on the altar. Listen, if I'm going to burn an offering, it ain't going to be a Harley Davidson, all right? That's my first thought. I'm going to ride that sucker. But it isn't amazing the fear that comes. Are you going to change things? And I want you to know that what happens when you get to know God, like we've been talking about, God wants to change some things. Are you afraid to change things in your life? Just like they are? It's okay, there's nobody in the building as long as you don't touch the altar. And she said, if you come in, are you going to change things? And I said, well, there's going to have to be some compromise. She said, that's my problem. I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you buy a house and the owner says, my grandmother put that carpet in 1969, you're not allowed to change it. They all started laughing, hysterical. Because change has to come in each one of our lives, amen? If it's not working, let's change it. I don't know what's going on in your life, but whatever you're doing, if it's not working, let's change it. Let's not worry about what the altar looks like because they've got the altar, then they've got the high altar, right? The Anglican Church from England. And then they've got the box of the presence on the wall and they anoint that and set that apart. Then they lock the box and they take the key home to protect it. Don't touch that. If the anointing is in it, I want the anointing on my life. And I'm pretty sure if the presence is in there, it's saying one thing, let me out. The presence of God is in you. And he's saying, let me out. Don't lock the box. Don't walk and say, it's because of what somebody else did to my life that I'm going to hide in my shell. I'm shy. No, you're afraid. Let me tell you something, because when Jesus Christ comes and lives on the inside of you, things start to change. When he gave me a new name, he called me his son. When all the drinking stopped, when they didn't take me to jail anymore, they woke me up in the middle of the night in the military. Said, you Halstead? Yep, that's me. He said, you got the right to remain silent. That flashlight was bright in my eyes. I said, for what? He said, you got the right to remain silent. And then they handcuffed me and they took me to jail. Again, Let me tell you something. When God changed all of that in them days, we're behind. I love God for what he has done. And I'm going to tell everybody how he set me free. And if you say, I can't because I'm shy, it's because you're not reading his word. You're not spending time in prayer. You don't know the love of the Father. And you're worried about the words of mere mortal men. Because when you get right with him, oh, everybody's going to hear about it. When you get right with him, you don't care what anybody else thinks. Because I know that I'm free from the sin, from the guilt, from the condemnation, from the shame. It's all gone. And I am who he says I am. And I'll close with this. We went to the, Dollars for Scholars last night, Landon. Landon got some money. And remember, 10%, where's Landon? All right, but just. But we got there on the way out. One of the boys, he used to play football with him. I remembered his father. His father was there. And I said, how you doing? He said, well, not too good. Not too good. He says, I've got stage 4 esophagus, lung, and liver cancer. And he's probably my age, I'm guessing. But I think everybody's my age. He's not? He's younger? Okay. I'm not good with ages. One time I said, Kristen Coons, well, yeah, we're, you know, Kristen, our age. She goes, I am not your age. You dated my stepmother in high school, she says. So, but I just think everybody's my age. And so, but I went up to him and he says, yeah, I've been diagnosed with this. And I said, all right. I said, we need to spend some time together. I said, because I want you to know the greatest decision you're ever going to make is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, yeah, well, you're the one that I always look to as my Lord and Savior because you're the one that tells me about him all the time. I said, I'm not him, but you need him. And he said, well, I'm all right. You know, I said, are you afraid? He said, I've never been afraid of nothing my whole life. I said, yeah, hell's coming. And there's no blondes, there's no Budweiser. Well, maybe Budweiser, but there's no blonde. Sorry. I just had to throw that out there. But he says, and you know what his answer is? Because he's a genius. He says, what about brunettes? I said, you have no idea what's coming, buddy. I said, there is pain and suffering like you've never seen before. We need to go have lunch. He said, oh, I got my appetite back. You better have deep pockets. Where do you want to go? I said, we'll go wherever you want. He said, you better have some money. I said, I'll spend it all on you for your salvation. Why? Because there's one child. I don't care what he thinks about me. I want to make sure that he hears about the loving Savior that could set him free before he checks out of this world because he's got no hope. Stage 4 in the world, all through your guts, he doesn't have any hope. But I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to tell him what Jesus Christ said and what he's done for me. And I want to lead him into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I don't care how many times I got to take him to lunch or what it costs me. Because that's one of God's sons that he created in his image. And he's got great value. And everything that God's given me, I'll use for the one. Just for the one. And that's what happens the closer we get with him. Amen? Can we go find the one this week? I don't know who it is that God's put before you. I don't know who he's surrounding you with. But I guarantee you there's some that don't know him. And you're the victory that they're waiting for. Let's stand up this morning. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for my friends in the house this morning. Lord, I thank you for enlarging our family. You're so beautiful, Lord. You've given us so many different people, so many different, and it's so beautiful. Lord, we see you in every single face represented here. The way that you designed each one of us just right. You wanted us all to be an expression of your love on the earth differently. Lord, I'm so thankful for the men that you have sent to this house.
We are so grateful, oh God, for the gift that they are, for the word that they're hiding in their heart, for the talents you've deposited in them, for the calling upon their lives. Thank you for them, Father. And I pray that we would just continually draw it out of each and every one every day of their lives. Lord, for the ladies in the house, thank you for giving such beauty to the house. Lord, that each one comes in and they all express you so wonderfully. Lord, what you've done is beyond anyone's comprehension. We can't even fathom it. Lord, thank you for the gifts and the talents in them. Lord, I'm so thankful today. I'm just grateful that you've knitted our hearts together so that Columbia and Greene and the surrounding counties can see the beauty of God walking out on the streets, singing and dancing and shouting unto our God, no longer afraid, no longer worried, no longer drawing back, no longer saying, I can't, no longer condemning people, no longer brutalizing others because of what's happened to us. But we truly are those who have been set free. So, Father, this morning, before we leave, I pray that there would be a fresh infilling in every believer in this room. Fill them up, Lord. Holy Spirit, you already know the need. Some need some extra love this morning. They haven't felt loved. Oh, when you come, we just start to laugh and giggle like little kids. When you fill us up, when you remind us of all the promises that the Father has spoke over our lives, all we can do is smile from ear to ear. Lord, maybe there's some grace that others need for those that are around. Maybe there's some mercy. Lord, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, you know. Come. Fill each one. Drive out the lies. Drive out fear in the name of Jesus. Drive out the isolationism, the addiction in the name of Jesus. Drive it out, Holy Spirit. You're the one that's been working in us according to the word of God since we've received you. We're so thankful, Holy Spirit, this morning for the work that you began. Let us hear your voice louder than any other voice on this planet. Let us stay in tune with you all week. For we desire to do the same thing you're doing. Whatever Jesus did. Father, as we walk out of the house today, we walk out as those men and women with a new purpose, with a new understanding. I know him, and I want to know him in a greater way. I want to know his word in a greater way because that word guides me and it keeps me. It watches over me. There's power in his word. And Lord, I want to know your ways so that I can express them no matter where I walk. So, Father, we speak shalom, shalom, shalom over every household, not just the individuals here, but everyone that they represent. That when they speak, the shalom of God is imparted to their sons, their daughters, their grandchildren, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever doesn't know you. But Lord, because they no longer control our lives, you do. We don't surrender to the lie anymore. We surrender to the truth. And therefore, you walk us through no matter what happens. You're on the other side saying, come, come. For there's victory. There's freedom when you look at me. So Lord, we speak shalom. Shalom, shalom over every house in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.